Oh, very exciting news, very special edition of Fitz Nation. Look who I ran into.
What's up, what's up?
Vicente Luque's here.
Yes.
And Fitz Nation has a coastline, as it turns out. We're in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
There we go.
And I was coming down here for a UFC assignment, and obviously there's like 100 fighters that live down in this area. And I said, let me do a podcast. Let me call up Vicente Luque and say, want to go for a walk on the beach? And you said yes.
Yes, yeah, it's always a good time, you know, having a talk with you, be able to just share more of, you know, myself with all the guys that are fans and that appreciate our work.
Yeah. So Vicente's off a huge win the day after my birthday, actually, August 12th, beat RDA. First, let's talk about UFC 294.
Yep.
We're just talking about Kamaru just a little bit.
Yes.
And Kamaru Usman was like emotional and kind of down on himself after the fight. Like, what did you think of that, knowing that you're pretty well versed with Kamaru and you trained with him a lot and you've known him for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that always, like, I've trained so many years with Kamaru since the days of the Tough 21 season where we lived together representing the Black Zillions. And, you know, we always expect a lot from him just because we know how much, you know, how much talent he's got, how tough he is. And I feel like he expects even more of himself. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, when you have a loss, it's hard. It's hard for you to deal with that. But then again, when I watched the fight, he fought a guy that was training, had a full camp, you know, is a dangerous guy, has moved up to the real weight class he should be fighting. And all of this was really new for Kamaru. 10 days, short notice, really training, but he wasn't training for a fight. He was just training once in a while, making sure that he was in shape, making sure he was developing, but not thinking of a fight, and in a new weight class, new weight division. So at the end of the day, I think he did really good. I think he's really, as everybody knows, you know, a tough fighter, a dangerous guy. And I would like to see more of him maybe at 185 against other guys with a full training camp.
Right. And then Volkanovski made a lot of headlines for how he was emotional after the fight. Can you speak to, because he said, you know, I've got a beautiful family at home, but I was doing my head in, is how he phrased it, which is an Australian phrase for, like, I was going a little crazy because I wasn't in camp. This is a busy fighter. He already fought twice this year. And, you know, he's got a fight theoretically coming up in February or January to defend his featherweight belt. How did you take that news as somebody who has, you know, a wife and a son? You have a good life going, about, you know, from outer things, but what did you make of his comments? Like, he just needed a fight, he needed to stay busy.
I think it's like, as fighters, you know, we're really, I don't know how to say, like, it's our passion. We do this, you know, there is the money, there is like taking care of our family, there is all that.
Yeah.
But that's not enough for us sometimes, you know. We love going out there performing and showing the world that we can be the best at this. And obviously he's one of those guys that is really competitive, really wants to, you know, make a statement and just show everyone that he might be one of the best of all times. And maybe that's hard to deal with. You know, you have your family, you have everything going well for you, but you still get addicted to that. Like, I want to be, you know, the guy that is shining, that is doing the headlines, and
right,
that is, you know, always in there and putting in the work and showing how good I am. And if you cannot balance that out, you can get lost in that. So I don't know, maybe that's something that, you know, I believe a lot that things happen for a reason, you know, and I think God always puts us in the right spot. So he was talking about that, you know, oh, I thought it was like destiny, I was gonna come here and become a champion.
Yeah.
I think it was destiny, maybe to show him, hey, appreciate more what you got and just keep on doing what you gotta do. You know, he is a great champion. He's still gonna, you know, I believe he's gonna come defend his belt and keep on building his legacy, but you don't need to rush. You know, he has accomplished so many things. Why rush? Why go crazy about it, you know?
You've been a busy fighter in the past. Like, you've have you fought five times in a year?
I fought five times in 13 months.
Yeah.
So almost a year.
Did that resonate with you, him being emotional, just saying, like, I needed to, like, something was wrong mentally and I needed to figure it out? Or do you think you've kind of figured it out at this point in your career?
I mean, I think it does, like, kind of right after I came, I had the two losses against Bilal and then Jeff Neal. Mm-hmm. I started looking at my career and looking at myself in general, like how I approached fighting, and realized that what I was doing is like I was putting my worth, like what I see in myself, in my wins or in my losses. Mm-hmm. So if I won, I felt good. I felt like, yeah, you know, I'm hardworking and I'm deserving of all the blessings I have. But if I lost, I felt the opposite. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. Why? Because that has nothing to do. If you lose or win, your family is there. Everybody that loves you is still there. That's not gonna change. Mm-hmm. So when you're able to really kind of take, you know, appreciate yourself for what you are, and that just frees you up from being able to perform and being able to be the best athlete you gotta be. Yeah. You don't gotta prove anything to anyone. You gotta just go out there and do what you wanna do. That is, be the best.
Yeah, and you know, people will react to emotions at a press conference because normally guys like you will be able to hold it back in public, but behind closed doors, I met there's tons of emotions all the time. I just know it from the back of the arena and knowing the fighters. What I've seen, like when you see behind the scenes stuff, that's so just like gut-wrenching for fans that really love watching you guys and like appreciate the talent and the ability, and even in defeat, like the show. But what we'll see is a lot of fighters that are like holding back tears with their coaches and their families and saying, I'm sorry. Have you ever done that? And like, can you describe that feeling of like apologizing because you feel like you let them down when they're there to support you no matter what? You know, there's nothing to be sorry about.
For sure. I think that like fighting is a very different sport, is a very different like profession, let's say, to choose. Mm-hmm. And it goes a lot to, you know, to have that mentality, to be able to go out there and do what we got to do. Because at the end of the day, we're competing against another, you know, another competitor that is there to try to knock us out, try to submit us, and try to just be better than us. Mm-hmm. at a combat, at something that, you know, we're going in there to really try to hurt each other. And that brings like different mentalities. And a lot of it is also kind of in certain moments, we just gotta kind of hide. I wouldn't say hide, but kind of try to hide in a way our emotions, try to hide even from ourselves to make us tough, to make us, you know, okay, we can go through this. We can go through anything. I have no fear. And it is good, you know, to get that when you're going to compete against your opponent, when you're gonna face off and you're gonna show him that you're ready. But after so many fights, like from, I have more than 30 fights, it's hard because that kind of starts becoming who you are. And nobody is like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody has feelings, everybody has ups and downs, everybody has, you know, these different, if I'm always the way that I am as a fighter, that's gonna be hard for me with my family, for me raising my son, because I gotta be loving to my son, loving to my wife. I gotta be able to just relax and show a little bit of my emotions as well. So yeah, I think that's something that fighters do struggle with, but you know, more and more, I think like when fighters like myself and others can start sharing and opening up, we can just relax and be like, okay, hey,
yeah,
I'm a fighter, but I don't gotta be always tough. You know, when I step in there and when I'm doing business, I'll be that guy. I'll be the guy that, you know, nobody can break. But out here, I'm just chill, just relaxed. Mm-hmm. I love my family and just enjoy this much more.
What was it like for you to lose those two in a row? You had never lost two in a row.
No, not in the UFC.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that the last time you were on the show. It was like, you're such a winner now because you took all those challenges before you were ready for them, right?
Yes.
Early part of your career.
Yes.
But what, one of the things that Kamaru, I think, was really struggling with is, you go back, like, when's the last time he won? I mean, it's been three fights in a row for a guy that was undefeated in the UFC to leave the arena feeling bad and not being able to say he won the fight is really challenging. And for you, I would imagine that's was a challenging part, especially of a two in a row type of thing where it was, what happened?
Yeah.
How did you like deal with that?
I think he said it well, right in the interview after the fight, like when he was backstage. It brings a lot of doubts on yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we as fighters, we don't really like to see. Like, it's hard, you know. The biggest thing that we have to do to fight well is to trust ourselves completely, trust our abilities, be confident that we can go in there, step in that octagon and do what we got to do and overcome the challenge. And when you have one loss, that's kind of like, okay, let me just improve, see my mistakes, go out there and get another win. And that brings back the confidence. When you have two losses, that kind of like, it breaks a little bit that, you know, that confidence that's okay, I wasn't able to correct my mistakes, or I did correct it and it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And now you start looking into other things, you know, like, am I the same fighter? Is my mentality the same? Am I still as tough as I used to be? Am I getting old? And all these different kind of things that go through our mind. And I think that's something that it did help me a lot to have lost in the past. Before the UFC, right. I've had two losses in a row, and that kind of like just helped me realize that, yeah, I mean, there are several reasons why we lose. We make mistakes. Sometimes we're not doing the right choices. Outside of fighting, you know, our day-to-day life, we're having issues, and that can be a problem. Sometimes we aren't in the best physical shape. Sometimes we are actually getting old. Maybe, you know, some guys are getting old. But what I think that, like, the biggest thing is, it doesn't really matter. You got to win the way you are. You got to win, kind of, you always look to improve and go in there and focus on winning. Be that guy that, like, how did Kamaru become so dominant? Mm-hmm. Just by being confident and trusting in what he does. Mm-hmm. And that's what he has to do now. Forget about the losses. Forget about all that, you know, you got kicked in one fight, and then the other fight, you weren't able to really get your movement, your flow. And now, you know, it was a short notice fight. The first round was a tough round because he got taken down. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get up. All that, yeah, you can correct it. You can look at it objectively, like towards, like, I'm going to correct the mistakes. But the confidence has to be there, you know. It doesn't matter what happened. That's in the past. Just like the wins are in the past, too.
Right.
The wins aren't going to make me tougher. I have to be every single fight the toughest guy can be that day, that night. And I think that's what any guy that is coming off losses has to realize. Hey, every fight is a new fight. Every day is a new day. Got to go and face it, you know, as hard as I can.
So you've been coming to train here at various places in Florida, but you've been coming to Florida for several years.
Yes.
But you always lived in Brazil.
Yeah, so I live here.
And so 2023, February, you move here to Florida, and then you kind of full-time here and train at Sanford or Kill Cliff.
Yeah, Kill Cliff.
What has this year shown you so far in terms of making that big change and where you're at right now as you have a fight, big fight with Ian Garry coming up in a couple months?
So I think that the move here was something that I kind of... It took me a while to really see that I needed this, mm-hmm. but I think I've needed it for a while because it's a different environment. Brazil was always great. I always had a great gym to train over there. It was the gym I started training in since I started my career. And it grew the physical part of it. You know, we had better facility with all the things we needed. We had a lot of new fighters, but...
Was that Cerrado MMA?
Cerrado MMA, yeah.
Bonfim Brothers.
I've trained with the Bonfim Brothers since, like, the older one was 18 and the younger one was 16.
Yeah.
So I've seen them, like, develop and become the beast that they are. We have Vivi Araujo that just won as well. And a lot of other guys. But I always felt like I was I was for sure the guy that was that had the biggest career in the UFC, and I was the guy, let's say,
you were the best everybody, guy in the room.
Exactly.
You were the best guy in the room.
I was the best guy, and that's what everybody was trying to get to, you know? And so, yeah, it was great to be able to be there, to train, to develop, but at the same time, I felt like I needed guys to push me up. You know, guys who challenge me. Not that the Bonfim brothers didn't challenge me, they did, but it was always like looking up to me, you know? They want to beat me because I'm the guy that is up there.
Right.
Now I have guys all the time that I look up to, that I want to beat, that I want to, you know, I train with Kamaru.
Right.
I train with Michael Chandler when he's there. And all these tough guys, Gilbert Burns, Shavkat, so many guys that are, you know, at the same level as I am. And that really is something I needed a lot. So, yeah, overall, I think that several different reasons I had to come here. And once I did, what I realized is that much before the fight with RDA, so just I came here, I didn't have a fight yet. I came in February.
Mm-hmm.
And training, like maybe a month and a half later, I already could see in training like how I've been developing so many different, just the way, you know, just the approach of fighting, not really, oh, now I'm a new fighter because I have so many skills. No, I just know how to use my skills better. I started realizing the skills that I already had developed, but I didn't use sometimes because I didn't have people like in training that required that from me, you know, mm-hmm. that didn't put me in the spot where I didn't need to use that skill.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then came the fight with RDA, and that was just like, okay, hey, you did the right things. You did the right choices. And now, yeah, like you're on the right path. Let's keep on working our way up to the title.
I think as like a more mature person, you're probably able to put it in perspective a little bit better instead of beating yourself up of, oh, I should have done this a long time ago. It's almost like, no, this was the perfect time because I needed to go through whatever lessons that got me to there. And
that's
now it's
for
like
sure,
kind of
yeah.
full speed ahead.
Exactly. And I think that like, even when I look that like, all my life, I thought that I was late. Like, imagine, like, when I got to the UFC, I was 23. And I wanted to get to the UFC younger, you know?
Right, right.
My goal when I started MMA professionally at 17. And my goal was to be the youngest champion. And the youngest champion is Vitor Belfort at 19 because he won the Grand Prix.
Right.
And for me, that was it. So when I became 19, I was like, damn, I didn't do this. And so I got to the UFC, in my mind, it was late already.
Right.
But now I get to this and I'm gonna turn 32 next month. And I'm like, this is the perfect timing. And everything, you know, I got so early in the UFC. I have 8 years in the UFC and I'm just 32.
Right.
I have over 30 fights. I mean, it's so crazy when I look at it, you know, I'm like, no, there's nothing I can't complain about. You know, all I can be is grateful and really, like, really, for me, it's like, it's fulfilling my destiny, it's fulfilling what God has planned for me. And little by little, I start understanding what he planned because it's really not in my control.
Right.
I can try to control everything, but life comes in and throws whatever it wants to at me.
Yeah.
So better kind of see, try to find a path and just walk through that path.
It's funny to, I mean, you're in your 30s, I'm 41 now, to just want everything right away. When you think you're turning 24, you're like, I'm in my mid-20s, I gotta get to work. And then you look back and you go, 23, you thought you were old in the UFC at 23, and now you look and you just go, anybody who makes it to the UFC before 25, I'm like, this is a young prospect, I hope they're ready for it.
Yes.
And I see some people too that are 21, 22, 23, and just go, man, some of them fizzle. Some of them lose a few fights. Maybe they fall out of love with the sport. They're not maybe looked at as a prospect would be at 26, 27 because they had losses on the big stage. And I just go, how much better would their careers have gone if they joined the UFC at 26 and had another eight fights, you know, before the UFC? So speaking of young, you got Ian Garry on the other side. And there's going to be a lot of fight talk with Ian Garry in the coming months, but trains at Killcliff. How extensively have you trained with him before saying yes to fighting him?
So I've trained a lot with him, and I met him in 2021 at MSG. That was his first UFC fight,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of like the alternate for Kamaru and Colby.
Okay.
So that's when I met him. We cut weight together, and I've always found him, you know, like a really nice guy. You know, he's super, what could I say? Like, he's that kind of like that person that you imagine, like, you know, the Irish guy that is just chill, just relax. He talks his mind. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes, you know, people don't like it, but he is really like, he is himself. He is what people see. and I always had a great time around him. I trained a lot, to say like not a lot for many years, but whenever I was in at Kill Cliff and he was there, yeah. we would train a lot. We would grapple, wrestle, spar, you know, always looking to really get the most out of each other, because like he saw me as a guy that, okay, this guy, you know, is a real tough welterweight. Let me learn from him. And I saw him as a young kid that is a prospect, that is a kid that really, really skilled and can be, you know, one of the best in the world. So I wanna take what I can from him, you know, take all that competitiveness, take all that, the skill, like striking. I've always seen him as one of the guys that most real like raw talent yeah. in striking. He has a lot of great timing, great ability. So I wanted to learn that from him as well. So we always had a good relationship. We always, you know, had a good time training. And when the fight was offered, I had no trouble like on taking it for myself, but I needed to talk to the coaches. So I talked to Henry just to make sure, you know, I don't wanna, being part of a team for me is very important. I've always, back in Brazil when I was at Cerrado, it was always like a team decision because I wanted it to be good for everyone. Mm-hmm. And now it's not any different here at Kill Cliff. And I talked to Henry, all the guys, and Henry was cool. He was, for him, it's tough because he's been, you know, part of a lot of Ian's career. Mm-hmm. And he, in his mind, it was like, if you guys want to fight, go ahead and do it. I'm going to stay out. I'll let you guys fight it off. And I don't want to be a part of it. Like, he's not going to corner me or him and just going to kind of stay out of it.
Right.
And I was like, I respect that for sure. You know, let's go out there. But if you're good with it, you know, I do want to fight because I think it's a great fight. When you look to it in paper, it's an amazing fight. You know, the fans are going to go crazy. Ian, you know, is so much skill, so much aggressiveness. Me as well. It's a fight that has to happen, you know. The guy that has been there for a while, you know, the veteran that is already kind of established in the division, looking to become a champion, and the young incoming, you know, prospect that wants to go and prove everybody wrong. So I think there's no better setup.
Yeah. Who is going to be in your corner then?
So I don't have a final decision.
Like, is Gilbert going to be in your... Like, Gilbert I don't probably know. Wants to sit it out too, right?
Gilbert cornered him.
That's what I mean. Gilbert fight. Just cornered him.
I know. And it's tough, you know. It's even something funny. Like, Josh is Gilbert's younger son.
Okay.
And he, as a birthday gift, he got, like, he went to Ian's fight.
In Boston. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Ian gave that to him as a birthday gift. So he's really, you know, friends with me and friends with Ian. And so it's kind of, it's a tough spot to be when you're not the fighters, you know.
Right.
For us, it's easy. We're just going to go out there and fight. And everybody around, and then they got to get like, okay, what do we do? And
right.
In my mind, it's just do whatever you want to do. I'm not, in my sense, I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to go out there, fight, and show my skills, and whatever happens, whatever happens.
So, like, you just said it's easy for you as the fighter. Like, you have no yeah. problem with it. It's
I mean, just, all I got to do is train and go out there and perform and do what I love.
It's kind of doing what you guys
do
in the gym a lot anyways,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah, we've done that just for training.
Right.
Why aren't we going to do it, like, in the biggest stage possible?
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. It's just one of those sports where, you know, you just had the Kelce brothers in the Super Bowl opposite each other. You talk about playing for high stakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're both on offense. They were never on the field at the same time type of thing. It's different when, okay, let's just compete against each other. This is what we do in practice. But yeah. somebody might be knocked out cold. It's just like a different kind of sport, you know?
It's also like something new because the sport is so new.
Yeah.
But I think in the future, we're going to see much more of this.
Oh, yeah?
Because gyms
well, look
like
at your
ATT,
gym.
Like
I mean, look at Kill Cliff. Gilbert, yeah. Shavkat, Ian, you. Kamaru,
and that's something
all
that
in
works.
One room, you know?
And that's something that clearly it works. You know?
Right, right.
It's not an accident that we're all there. It's because training with each other is making us better. So that's going to be the future. We're going to have big gyms that have a whole bunch of tough guys training with each other. Eventually, they have to fight.
Yeah.
So now we're starting to get into this, but I think it's just the beginning. Later, like maybe 5-10 years from now, it's just going to be a normal thing.
Yeah. What would you say, because, you know, like you mentioned, 30 fights, you've been in the UFC a long time, but you always want to evolve and grow. Like, even the champions will say it, the Hall of Famers will say it right up until their last fight. What are you trying to incorporate into your routine that's new?
So, a few things. One thing that I started trying to do since when I fought Jeff Neal. So I've always been a 170 fighter, but my weight, like as I grew older, I became much heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I was struggling back, not to make weight.
What do you weigh right now?
So right now I'm keeping myself like at 196.
Okay.
So I used to, at this point, like maybe right before Jeff Neal fight, I would be like 203.
Okay.
So I was getting too heavy.
Yeah.
And that kind of like, I could make weight, it wasn't an issue. But what I felt is I became a little bit slower
right.
in the striking, which is what I most use and my most dangerous weapon. So I just felt like I needed to keep myself a little bit lighter. That's an adjustment I did with my nutritionist. And we just kind of changed some routines and some, just the way overall of eating and the habits I had, you know. Sometimes I wanted to, I don't know, go, like when after I fought, I relaxed and just ate whatever. And now I realize, okay, at this age, and like I am, if I want to keep at 170, I cannot just, you know, okay, now I eat whatever. When I was 22, 23,
yeah.
It was easy. But now it's not. So that's an adjustment. Also, just kind of like really being able to, so something I do now, I take the heart monitor
mm-hmm.
to training and kind of track my sessions. Why? Because now I feel like it's really important for me to know what's going on physically in the training, so that later I can know what I really need for my recovery.
Right.
So at 20, 22, it was easy to recover. So it didn't matter how I trained, you know, I could train hard and maybe even harder than I should have, but I would still recover.
Right.
Now, I gotta, like, I'm a guy that I love training. So if I just train whatever I want to,
training's the problem.
I might overtrain.
Yeah.
I'll be sparring 3 times a week. And that's not healthy, you know? So it's kind of like different things that we're adjusting and realizing with age that change, like sparring. I don't spar like I used to. So for this fight, I'm only gonna start sparring like really hard, like specifically for the fight, 6 weeks out.
Wow.
So in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and when I don't have a fight, I don't spar. I grapple, I do wrestling. I do extra of other things that I can develop my skill.
Mm-hmm.
And that, how did I get to that? I kind of thought, you know, look back. I probably have over, let's say, I don't know, 100,000 hours of sparring.
Right.
I started fighting at 17. So imagine 17 to 31, how many hours of sparring I have. I don't need that experience anymore. So if I do that only close to the fight, it's enough to, you know, get my timing down,
yep.
get the distance, the techniques, and I don't gotta be like crazy thinking, okay, I gotta spar. And before, I thought that I needed to win sparrings. What am I gonna win in training, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna pay for that.
Right.
So I don't really gotta go out there. All I gotta do now is go out there with somebody that is kind of the same build as my opponent, that is gonna do the same things that my opponent is gonna try to do,
uh-huh.
and make sure that I have all the techniques down and that it's flowing, that I'm feeling like I can execute it well.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, I got the experience.
When you're on your way up, you wanna win every day, every yeah. session. And
yeah.
now you just know, I need to be as the best version of me for those 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or however
yeah.
long they last. Everything else is kinda like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Even that's all anybody's gonna talk about
anyway. Yeah, and even sometimes like, put yourself in bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
So like drill starting in a place where you don't want to be in the fight.
Right.
Why? Because that's gonna happen. That's what your opponent is trying to do. So if you're always winning, if you're always like training to dominate, you're gonna be that lion that is great at hunting,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't know what to do when he's being hunted.
Right.
You know. So you
right.
gotta be able to fight in both situations.
What do you do when you get into a rut? Because I think what a lot of people can identify with, whether they're athletes or not, it's like sometimes a career that you love, you go through a few weeks or a month where you just, you don't love it. And you're like, you laugh because that's how it probably happens. Yes.
It happened maybe during 4 years straight.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like it for 4 years. For I mean, four didn't years. Like it, kind of. What years were they?
Right, the last year was right before I lost to Jeff Neal.
Yeah.
So what happened? Like, in my mind.
I mean, that's half your UFC career.
Yeah. In my mind, it was like. There was a point where I was training, and like you said, I fought a lot. Yeah, I fought a lot because I wanted to get to where I wanted to. What is that? Be a champion. And in my mind, I was like, okay, I'll become a champion. And then it's done. Like, I did what I set mm-hmm. out to do. And then I can do whatever, you know. I can relax and I can enjoy. Where was the mistake? I can enjoy right now. I can, you know, take my time. I can enjoy my family. I can travel with my family. I can do the things that I love. But in my mind, and that happens, I think, a lot, because we look outside for approval and we look like, oh, I gotta do whatever other people are doing. And so I would not go, let's say, I love cars, and I would not go racing, and I would not go to car shows and stuff. Why? Because I thought, no, you know, I gotta train, I gotta rest, I gotta stay here ready, because I don't know, maybe they're gonna call me to fight in 2 weeks, and I better be ready. But I'm missing out on so many things that is part of life, you know?
Yeah.
And am I only gonna live once I'm a champion, and then I retire, and then I can live my life? That makes no sense. And that's what I spent 4 years of my life being. And in my mind, it was like, no, but every job is boring. So this one just became boring as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm really disciplined. That's why for many years, I still got the wins. I still moved up the rankings because I did everything I needed to do. Like, I went to training, I would wake up, but the attitude was different.
Yeah.
And in long term, it cost me those two losses. Why? Because one thing is when you do something that you love and you appreciate it, so you work hard, but it makes sense. Something else is when you're working hard and putting in the work, doing everything you gotta do, but you don't see sense in it. You just want it to end. And that's what it was. So at that point, when I step in there against a guy like Bilal, against a guy like Jeff, which are guys that are extremely tough, if I don't have appreciation for what I do, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna perform the best I can.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go out there, okay, it's another day, I gotta do what I do, and that's it. And then I'm gonna get punched in the face and knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if it's just another day, I don't really care about it. So it's kind of what I realized to myself. I had to get out. That's why it was great to, like, people say, man, it was terrible what happened to you after the fight with Jeff. It was terrible, like, in the sense of it was hard, and it's something that put my career at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great because I was able to really just take time to reset my mind, to realize, okay, I've been walking through a path that is not gonna take me anywhere. Let me go back to that guy that got to the UFC at 23, because I got there because I loved what I did. And it was much harder than it is now, because mm-hmm. I got paid nothing to fight in Brazil. We got paid less than $1,000 per fight. And like, if I break a tooth, I wouldn't pay my tooth, you know? So we got paid nothing. And like, I lived with my mom, and like, so many things that were much harder, and I had so much appreciation. That's why I fought so well. And I started realizing this, okay, let me start appreciating what I have. And then I started seeing my family, you know, not only like seeing them, but looking at, look at this family I have. I have a son, I have a wife that has always been next to me, you know, having my back and helping me with everything. I have a whole, you know, my mom and my dad that always supported me. And I don't know, I just started realizing all of this, started appreciating it. And I was still training, but training wasn't the biggest focus.
Yeah.
And once I got back to training here, I was like, I improved. Even though I'm not training as hard mm-hmm. as I thought I was, mm-hmm. but I'm training much smarter.
Yeah.
Because I get fresh, I get like excited to train. And this has been like the all the months I've been here, since February to now, yeah. Every single day I wake up to train, and I wake up as tired as I used to, or more tired sometimes, but I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm like, okay, I can't wait to get to training and do this again. And before, no, like those 4 years I talked to you about, I woke up and like I had to talk myself into going, because I had all the excuses in my mind. But I'm good at beating excuses, but that's just gonna take me to one certain point. It's not gonna take me all the way up, and really, it's not gonna make me appreciate all that I've built, all that I've worked for.
Right. The probably the most important concept that I've learned this year, and it might be the most important concept of my adult life, is what you just said. A lot of times we want to chase checking off a box and then thinking once we're done with that, we'll be happy, and then we can unfold the rest of our lives knowing that we hit the goal and that we're good now. For a lot of fighters, it's a championship.
Yep.
For me, it's like, once I have, you know, this job or my podcast grows to this amount, then I can really enjoy life because everything can line up the way I want it to.
Yep.
And like, what we forget to realize is like, that's what we've been saying all along. And like I was saying, once I get to ESPN, I can die happy and that's it. I've been on ESPN for almost 9 years now.
And you still don't want to die.
And I'm still just like, that doesn't count because X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you figured that out because, and you're only coming up on 32. So you beat me by like 10 years in that concept. So good for you. Yeah. Life does not begin after you check a box.
Yeah.
Because it's not a checkbox. It's an opening of a door to just a big new hallway that's really long. DC said, I'll wrap it up on this. Remember I was like in an Uber with DC one time. And you know, he was a champion. And then when you hold the belt for a long time, he was like, you know, you think you need that for fans to like you. And then when he lost it, or I mean, I guess, you know, he was like, once you get to a certain point, people just like you for you. They don't need a championship belt. You know, it's good to have that, obviously, and that's a healthy thing to chase if you're an athlete. You obviously want a championship, but to attach your happiness to it is a recipe for unhappiness.
Exactly.
Sometimes over the stretch of 4 years.
Yes. Yeah.
That's wild.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And yeah, I think that, you know, just being able to, what I see in myself at least is that I could never imagine my true potential. So if I set any goal as, okay, this is what I gotta do, and that's what I gotta strive for, I'm gonna limit myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe I can much more. That's all, like, I believe in God, and it's something that has, you know, throughout my career, just shown me so many things. And that is really where I am able to just, like, I let him take care of what the goals are, you know, and what my potential is going to be. What I got to do is work, enjoy every day of my life, and you know, just realize all the blessings I have. And I don't have these blessings. It's not a mistake that these things are happening. There's a reason. So, hey, let me keep on building. Let me keep on improving. Let me be the best fighter I can be, which is something that I don't know. I cannot tell you what that is now, because I'll see it when I am. But if I try to make it to something like, oh, I'll be the best fighter when I'm a welterweight champion, I'll limit myself, because maybe I can be a welterweight champion and then a middleweight champion and then something else. So it's just like I've learned to, there are some things that we gotta surrender. Mm-hmm. And just let, you know, for me, it's God. Just let God take care of it. And I do, you know, what my part is, to work hard, to show up, and to be the best that I can be.
Another good example that's timely is like Volkanovski. Look at how much the fans like him, love him, and how dominant he's been at featherweight. And yesterday he's fighting back tears saying, mentally, I was not all there because I needed to fight. And it's like, dude, you are as dominant a champion as we've ever seen in the UFC. And he still is like chasing something. So enjoy the chase. That's what life is all about. Because if you can't enjoy the chase, then you can't enjoy life.
Yep.
All right, Vicente. Thanks for coming for a walk with me,
Thank you. Thank you.
A couple quick things. Your hair.
Yes.
Are we going to keep the hair going long?
No, I'm going to cut it soon. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
I haven't got it in a while, and it's just, it's a little too nuts.
The beard too.
And then also, do you expect Ian Gary to like trash talk? You guys talked about that just real quick.
I mean, I sent him a message and then he messaged me back. That's kind of what we posted on social media. And it was just like, I mean, for me, that's what it is. It's going to be, you know, all business.
Yeah.
I respect him. I actually, like, I have a lot of fun. You know, I think he's a great guy.
Yeah.
So if he wants to trash talk, man, it'll be say, what it is. At the end of the day,
he turned Neil Magny into a mountain of an enemy, and I'm just like, man, if he did that to Neil Magny, he's going to do that to everybody. Yeah, so
I'll say, like, whatever he needs to do, do it. You know, I'm not going to take it personal.
He'll create some
content. And I'm just going to try to be, you know, the example that I am of a chill guy, and that's what I want to put out there. I've always wanted to show that, hey, we're tough, we're fighters. We go out there, we punch each other in the face, but we don't gotta be mean. And I'm not a mean guy. I cannot even try to be one. Yeah. So that's what I'll be.
I went for a walk with my friend Vicente Luque at the beach in Florida. Look at us, Vicente, at the beach.
Yes.
Let's get some palm trees, maybe. There we go. For the thumbnail. Thanks, cool. Buddy.
Thank you.